a hearty welcome, people loved by God. This is Thy Strong Word, a show devoted to hearing, pondering, and proclaiming the powerful word of our gracious giver God. I'm your host, William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, and it's a joy to be with you today as we turn to Chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes. We are slowly but surely wending our way toward the end. Joining us today here in studio is my very own pastor, Pastor Benjamin Thomas Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ham, Illinois. Pastor Ball, welcome.
Great to be here today.
Well, you know, this is a challenging book. Every chapter, I think, we got through that one.
I said, Bible class on Wednesday night, I said, I'll be on with Pastor Whedon on Friday. You can listen in and I can talk about a Bible book that I just simply have no idea what it means half the time. So I said, I have to go home and now do some studying before I get on the radio to try and speak with some kind of wisdom, but thankfully the book itself gives you the wisdom you need to talk about it. So,
yeah, it is really an amazing book. I always think if there was ever a book that the existentialists would have written, this is it.
Yes.
All right. Well, before we dig into the scripture today, let's begin with the word of prayer. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reminder to our hearers, you should feel free to join in our conversation anytime during the hour. Send an email to kfuo@kfuo.org, or you can call in locally at 314-821-0850, or around the country at 1-800-730-2727. You ready to dig in?
Ready.
All right. I really debated this first paragraph. How long do we go? I mean, how far do we go on it? I don't think we're going to try to do the entire thing in one chunk. So let's just start with verse 1, chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes. But all this I lay to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all. Since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner, and him, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. So just verses 1 and 2. All right. Any thoughts on those for us, Pastor?
In our neck of the woods, the farmers have been bringing in the harvest, taking out the corn and the soybeans. And I'm sure there's plenty of farmers out in our neck of the woods that are unbelievers. And there's plenty of guys in our church that are believers. The sun came down, the rain shone on them, same way. And what is true of the harvest, bringing in the crops, whether you are an unbelieving farmer or a believing farmer, the sun shines the same, the rain comes down the same, and the same is true with our mortality and our lives. Whether you are a believer or unbeliever, there's this great equality before God in the situations of this world. We all... faithful, unfaithful, believer, not believer, our lives are going to come to an end. And even the unbeliever's got to deal with that somehow, in some way. Here, Solomon is saying, death is the great equalizer. And if you've had a lot, you're going to die. If you've had little, you're going to die. If you were a wicked man, you're going to die. If you're a just one who's been offering sacrifices in faith, you're going to die too.
So the same event.
That's death. Right.
And is there also a hint here that not just death, but also judgment?
Oh, you bet.
It's going to come to all. It means, yes, everybody's going to give an account.
Correct. And that thing about the same event, too, we can also consider this in light of human tragedy that takes place on the earth. Mm. A car crash. Think back to September 11th. All kinds of accidents that happen. On the one hand, that judgment might come that some will be sent to hell, others be brought to the bliss of paradise. But for us, we see it in the same equal plane. It's destruction. It is judgment. And frankly, it hurts, too, for us who see this. But again, death's coming to everybody. And there's no way you can shake it. I think of all the kind of sci-fi things that have gone on over the course of, just entertainment, books, movies, about everybody's trying to get away from dying.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
There's got to be some way I can download myself, right? I
mean, yeah, that's right.
Exactly. The modern equivalent of immortality is I've got to some way that I can could cheat the Grim Reaper at the end. But he just sets this implacably in front of us and say, nope, that same event is going to come to all. And we're all going to leave the same way we entered, absolutely empty, carrying none of the stuff that we thought that, hey, is that what life's about? Getting more and more stuff. So I have a big pile. Solomon certainly had a pretty big pile of stuff.
Yes.
But he says, the guy that has a big pile and the guy that has almost nothing, they all leave carrying the same amount out. They all leave with nothing.
It's true. And I know you've seen a lot of people die. So have I. And those of you who are listening out there, if you're perhaps in the medical field, you've seen a lot of people die too. And I tell you, no one, when they're dying, is thinking about stuff.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Not at all.
I've been around a few unbelievers who have died when their family has called me. Say, Pastor, will you come and see them? And I'll, of course, yes. And boy, that's the tough one.
Yeah.
They're dying, and now what? And that's why they need to hear the promises of Christ all the more on their deathbed. And then, of course, for the Christian, it becomes such a joyous thing so many times when you see them on their deathbed and family gathered around. And
the song of the church surrounding them. I always think about Isaiah 35. They're going home to Zion, and as they go, they are singing on
yes.
the way. And
yep.
that it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. But they very important that they leave not touting or proclaiming all the great things they've done. They leave as sinners who know that they are
yeah.
going to the hand of the one who will show them mercy. But they don't say, hey, look what I did.
No, I've never seen anybody do that in their last moments of lucidity,
yeah.
whether it's a couple days before they die or just momentarily before they die. I've never seen anybody
never.
Say, oh, would you please take me out to the garage so I can see my car one more time? Or sit? I mean, I just have not seen that. It's not my experience.
Yeah. Chemnitz has an interesting little note on this that's in the Lutheran Study Bible. He says, we cannot and must not determine on the basis of the outcome whether we are pleasing to God or whether we please God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good... Well, what's the danger of that sort of infected American Puritanism? I mean, how do they
yeah.
think?
So it's really interesting that he has that quote because... we pray in the liturgy, we pray that God would spare us from an evil death.
Evil death, yeah.
And the danger is to think that a wicked death or a death that comes, we would call it a tragic death, must be merited somehow.
Yeah, the surefire sign of God's displeasure. Job.
That's right.
With his kids.
Exactly. So, but we say, no. Again, it's the great equalizer. It comes to all of us. An evil death is really an unprepared death. It's
mm-hmm.
a death that is coming apart from faith in Christ, apart from trusting in His promises. So even what we would say would be a horrific, a tragic death or something like that is not necessarily an evil one. And so Chemnitz, and so in our American culture, if, as you mentioned, the Puritans before, God's bringing judgment. They deserve what they got. Well, we don't know why, but they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, death is a result of, is the consequence of sin. It's God's judgment against Adam's sin, which has become our own. And so when it comes, we recognize, yes, this is the result of our fallen rebellion against God, and it's true for all of us. And it's coming for all of us, but the Christian does not fear it because Christ has destroyed its power forever, and he's victorious over it by his resurrection, into which we've been joined.
Amen. Well, let's pick up the next set of verses here in this opening paragraph, beginning at verse 3. I'll see if I can not lose my place this time. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. All right, those are some challenging words. Any help in understanding what he's getting at here?
Well, I hope that he's speaking a little bit of hyperbole. I don't think that he is. I wish that he was. This we see that death is evil. That's a fact.
And that death comes to all.
And death comes to all.
That's a fact.
That's a fact too.
But
he does, though, say it's. This is a very clear confession of original sin.
I was going to ask you about that. It's like, isn't this? This sounds like he is talking Augsburg Confession here.
Yes, exactly. The hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and there's madness in their hearts. You know, I can't remember who it was that said that sin really isn't sanity, and it is.
Yeah. I was thinking of something that Schmemann likes to drive home is that he says, always sin is irrational.
Yes.
It is always irrational.
That's it. It's absolute madness. Why would you turn around from the one who loves you, gives you everything you have, seeks to give you more, only is merciful, desires only your good, wants to love you?
Wants to bring you into his house and,
that's right,
and share it with you forever.
Exactly.
And give you more good than you can ever imagine.
That's
and yet
right.
We look at that and say,
no, thank you. I'll do something else. I'd rather die.
Yeah, Pastor Belton preached for us this morning in chapel, and he did a great job on the wedding feast, which would be the traditional gospel for this past Sunday, right? And so the the shock of, you know, the king is throwing a feast, and you're on the A-list is what the way
yes.
he put it. You're on the A-list, he wants you there, and the A-list says, sorry, I can't come, I'm busy.
That's right.
This is insanity.
Absolute madness.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That the difficult thing is about the dead knowing nothing. Now, Luther says this is one of the clearest passages in the Bible that the dead aren't having contact with the living here on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we liked, people ask pastors this all the time. Does my mom, you know, is she thinking of me?
Does she know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does she know what's going on? And Luther says no.
Yeah, Luther says no. Let me ask you this, though, and Luther's take on this, we talked a little bit before the show began, is a fascinating one. I'd encourage anybody to pick up the book and give him a read on this. I also noticed that it depends on what text he's dealing
yes,
with,
that's right.
how he
that's
actually
right.
preaches it.
Yep.
You know, and if you're looking at Hebrews 12 and surrounded by mm-hmm. so great a cloud of witnesses, all of a sudden it's a different story.
That's right.
The one that really intrigues me is whether or not our definition of dead is, Psalm 115 says very clearly that the mark of the dead is that they do not praise the Lord. And it says, but the living praise the Lord. And it says, and we will do this now and forevermore. St. Augustine even wondered when he was expounding the end of the creed there, he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Is what he's saying not that he's judging the people walking around and the people who have, you know, stopped breathing and are, you know, turned to dust? He says, is he judging the difference between the people who are cut off from him and dead because they don't praise the Lord, they don't receive anything as gift, they don't acknowledge the great gifts of God, and then the living who are constantly receiving from the God, you know, his good gifts of life, and therefore, as Jesus would say, you know, whoever lives and believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.
That's right.
So,
well, he says in verse 5, the living know that they're going to die, mm-hmm. but the dead know nothing. So, there are people, and this is, it's helpful now, unbelievers are dead already. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're dead right now.
Walking dead.
Yeah, that's right, like the TV show, right? I mean, they're not zombies. Well, I guess they kind of are. they're dead now. You're only alive if you're in Christ. Really alive. Being born again, mm-hmm. John chapter 3. And so, and that's really interesting about, as he says in verse 6, about the really dead, and also in verse 5, the memory of the dead is gone. And it's all perished. There's nothing left. So those who were dead in their trespasses and sins, their life on this earth, they really aren't leaving anything behind for anybody. Because what's the only thing that's going to last? The only thing that's going to last is Christ and life in Christ. So if I'm alive now in Christ, I have things that are going to be passed on. I will live in memorial forever,
mm-hmm.
in the mind of God, but also I will live with all the saints who are gathered around.
Yeah.
The dead aren't.
So it reminds me of the saying that some Christians use when they hear that a believer has died. They say, memory eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to not, I mean, I thought, what on earth does that mean? But I think what that means is it's a way of saying to the person, God hasn't forgotten them.
Yes.
They are remembered. If God remembers you, you are remembered.
That's exactly right.
And he will, when he stands again on the earth, he will call them from the dead. He will give them a gift of a life that has no end. It's a comforting thing then. But this picture here is the rather bleak picture of, as Luther would say, under the sun, apart from grace, this is where it ends.
That's right. You're done. And there's no one's going to be thinking of you. No one's going to remember you. It's it. And I think that's why I really enjoy going to Christian cemeteries like ours.
Seeing the promises written?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a couple weeks ago, Floyd, a member of our church, he's in charge of our cemetery, and there's some really old stones that need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great because one of our members who passed away, Lorman, mm-hmm. about a year ago,
yeah.
he left a bunch of his estate to the cemetery to fix it up.
Neat.
And that shows you his memory.
Yeah.
I'm remembering the saints who have gone before me, and so I want to make sure that their graves are still okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
So in the church, yeah, so for Solomon here, apart from the life of God, there's nothing. It is Sheol. It's the grave.
The shadows.
That's it.
And I thought this, you know, Luther has a good point, though, when he says that the dead have no traffic with us. He's, you know what he's warning us against.
That's right.
The occult type of thing.
Correct.
He says, he describes the dead as unfeeling corpses. Therefore, he wants us to use life as much as is permitted and to work as much as we can, for we are forced to relinquish the greater part of the world to Satan and can scarcely gain a thousandth part of it for God. And so, if your lion dies, you better not kill your dog.
I know, that's right.
I love that line.
That is good.
What a hoot. We've got Mike on the line, calling from St. Louis. Hey, Mike, how are you today?
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Well, you know that part where it says where their memories are forgotten, you know, that you just read?
Yeah.
Well, you know, some people interpret that where, you know, people who don't believe in life after death, they'll say, well, you know, the dead live on in the memories of the living, or, you know, they're alive in our thoughts. Well, you know, Abraham Lincoln kind of thought that way himself, from what I understand. And he always said, if you want to enter the afterlife, do something famous that people will never forget you for. I just thought, you know, that was kind of an interesting another perspective on it.
I think that is the perspective of the world and of the way that the world thinks. And I always, for that, I just go back. We mentioned him 1,000 times here, but Ozymandias,
yeah.
You know, oh, the great, you know,
that's right.
Goes, who is that?
Yeah,
And so, you know, time sweeps on. Eventually, there will come the day that nobody knows who Abraham Lincoln is. Even.
That's right. Yeah, Mike, I think from the perspective here, Solomon's talking about, it's for that person. I mean, Abraham Lincoln doesn't know anything about he did anymore. He's dead. And Luther says what it really means, he says, if you'd say it in normal German, we'd say in English, it's all over. It's all over. There's nothing left for you.
The fat lady sang.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, beginning then, we have time to push into the next section just a little bit. What about verse 7? Go then, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already approved what you do.
Oh, that's awesome. Because this is the gospel, really. Okay, you're going to die. Be filled with joy. Go about your business. God bestows his approval on you, and his favor is on those whom he loves. With a joyful and merry heart, live. And for God to say live, I mean, that's resurrection. Mm. You're going to live now. Cast your cares on him. He cares for you. He's going to deliver you from death. So for the believer, for Solomon and for us, okay, yeah, death's coming. Yep. Got it. I'm going to die. It's going to be over. And maybe there'll be some day when no one knows who I am and no one's going to come to the cemetery to visit me. So what? God knows me. He remembers me. He will never abandon me to the grave because his son was not abandoned to the grave, but got up out of there. So I can live now through faith in Jesus Christ. I can eat my daily bread. I can receive a glass of wine. I can be filled with joy. I can have a merry heart and dance through life because God has put his seal of approval on me in his son, Jesus Christ. And whatever you do.
Very good. You know, you're running right through there with Luther. He notes that this exhortation.
I read it last night, everybody.
Yeah, so that's where the great wisdom's coming from. The excerpt, you know, we learned so much from Luther. There's just it is amazing. Sometimes he says things that are just outrageously weird, and I find that paying attention to those things usually is the most beneficial. But this one doesn't sound too weird. He says, this exhortation applies to the godly, to those who fear God, as though he were saying, you who are godly, do what you can, because you know that God approves what you do. This is the height of spiritual wisdom, to know that one as a gracious God who approves one's works and actions. This Romans 8:16. It is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Unless our heart immerses itself in the will and good pleasure of God, it can never sweeten its bitterness of heart. It'll always remain bitter unless the heart is filled with the good pleasure of God. I think that's a great, great counsel there. And the way you were describing it reminded me of the way he talked to you know, someone that was preparing to die. He has a great sermon on that. And he says to the person, basically, you know, get everything in order, you know, make sure that you've taken care of what you can, make sure you confess your sins and receive God's forgiveness, and then put it out of your head. Go ahead and enjoy whatever time God has here for you. This is God's good and gracious will for you. And, you know, you've just made the shocking discovery that you are mortal and that there's a limit to your life. Well, guess what? We knew that all along.
Yep, that's right.
It enables us to receive the good gifts of God with joy. Well, hang tight here. We will be right back after these announcements to finish chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, where Reverend John Shank is senior pastor. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where senior pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Well, welcome back to the I Strong Word right here on KFUO, the messenger of good news for the past.